Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a difference in the world. We're going to explore many different important aspects and areas of life, including spiritual, physical, mental, relationships, business, disability, sales, and many more important topics. So far, our broadcast team consists of Michael Collins from New York. He's the author of Ushering in the Golden Age and also a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. Taylor Tagg, he's the author of Enrich Your Sunrise, also a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. Ray Stendahl, who's out of California, he spoke recently at the Napoleon Hill International Convention, is also a certified instructor. Dave Yablecki out of British Columbia, Canada. He provides entertainment for casinos, colleges, universities, and trade shows. And my friend Tracy Montgomery out of Alberta, Calgary, Alberta. She's an author of ebooks on dating and relationships that have generated close to 20,000 downloads so far. My name's Tom Cunningham. I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. I recently spoke at the Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared the stage with Deepak Chopra. I've also had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 44 years now. I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced and been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'2". That was due to the heavy doses of prednisone that I took as a youngster to combat the arthritis. I'm also a senior research director for the Canadian Business Journal, which is a digital-only publication that is the official and only media partner with the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. You can find out more about me at my website. It's Tom, the number 2, and Tall, TALL.com. My guest today is Lorraine Eady, and Lorraine is your second time around love, author, speaker, radio host, and coach. She offers remarried couples recipes for extraordinary relationships. Lorraine assists couples in attaining the next level of marriage mastery while developing a love mindset. She also coaches singles, divorcees, and groups on how to break free of limiting beliefs and patterns that keep them in bondage, caused by communication breakdown, low self-esteem, self-worth, financial trauma, and excess baggage from previous relationships. Lorraine facilitates teleclasses, webinars, and workshops based around second time around love, relationship survival, your money, your life, and self-esteem. She also hosts a weekly radio show, Married Again Radio, and is co-author of Wake Up Women, Be Happy, Healthy, and Wealthy. She's a contributing author of Life on Your Terms, Becoming a Wealthy Woman, Careers from the Kitchen Table, and soon to be released, 50 is Nifty, Inspirational Stories to Empower Women, and Concrete Jungle, Survival Skill for the Real World. Welcome to the show today, Lorraine.
Wow, thank you, Tom. You know, it's interesting when you listen to someone say all of those things, you're like, is that all that I do? You know, I do them, but I don't think consciously about doing them. So it's nice to hear that. So thank you for that introduction.
Isn't it nice? When you are pursuing your definite purpose, when you know that this is what you were put here to do, as you said, you can do a lot of things and at the same time not even think of it as doing a lot of things, because it's so much what your purpose is and how you're helping other people. And I can really, really see, as I said before the show, on how your service and what you teach people is so valuable. In my own case, I got married about 4 years ago, and it's my wife's third marriage. And so we've had to learn from that. And my parents got divorced after 27 years. They remarried and are happier than they ever would have been if they stayed together. And the same with my sister as well. So what a tremendous mission you're on. And then I also laughed in my head when I was reading about your soon-to-be-released 50 is Nifty, because I just turned 49 last month. So I got my 50 is Nifty coming up next year.
Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to that. It's been a work in progress, and it's time to give birth to it. So I'm excited. And actually, my book with that I'm co-authoring along with Bob Proctor should be out by the end of this month. So that's Concrete Jungle, which I'm really excited about. Yes.
Wow, just saying the word co-authoring with Bob Proctor, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Like he's one of the giants of the industry.
I know. It's really, really exciting. And I'm thrilled. I'm really thrilled, and I can't wait to put up my sale page and have people learn from it, because it's going to be an amazing book of contributors, including myself. So thank you for having me today.
You're amazing. Thank you so much. Now, Lorraine, I almost always start. You could hear all the references in the introduction of the show to Napoleon Hill. So it's a natural that I start by asking people, when did they first read Think and Grow Rich? And maybe even who suggested they read it, because those can often be important people in our lives as well.
Right. You know, oh my goodness, Think and Grow Rich goes back years and years and years for me. I study metaphysics, so Think and Grow Rich was one of the books that they talk about in metaphysics, so it was a natural book. I mean, I have had this book so long that the pages are yellow, you know, and they're all turned down, because every time I read it, I turn the page down, so I might as well turn them all down, because you know, you get to just embody the book. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. So the person that turned me on, I can't really say exactly who that was. However,
yeah.
You know, I know that in my journey of studying metaphysics, law of attraction, that I would say back in the 80s, the early 80s.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is some time ago, and it's always nice to hear when people first read that book for myself. It's made so much difference in my life. Now, one of the major principles, the most important principle that Napoleon Hill writes about in his 17 Success Principles is definiteness of purpose. So how long did it take you to figure out this coaching business for a remarried couples was really your purpose and your passion? Obviously, it had to come after some adversity and defeat.
Well, yes, Tom, and that's a great question. You know, I have, and I believe it's because when we read things, we really do embody it, so it becomes a part of us. And I read this book many years ago, and I was much younger at that time, and I've always felt, having read the book and doing the metaphysical principles and work, that I was fortunate enough to be placed exactly where I wanted to be. And I would say this goes back to in the 1980s. When I made a decision, I wanted to go back to school. And so I went back to school and got my undergraduate degree, got my graduate degree. And it was one day that I was sitting in an auditorium in a hospital listening to social workers. And I said, that's what I want to do. Just like that. This is it. Because I had a natural tendency to be able to help people, to talk to people. People trusted me. And it just was, I was guided. It was like, this is it. And that I started moving forward. And, you know, using these principles become a part of your life and who you are. It's not just that you read a book. It's something deeper, much deeper than that. And so I started school, and went into graduate school, and it just continued to unfold. And about 10 years ago, I felt, okay, it's time to make the change. You know, and I always go back to thinking grow rich. You know, there's something more here, something,
yes.
Not more in the sense, but something else to do, another path,
yes.
Another direction. And so I started doing coaching, kind of floundering. And, you know, think and grow rich always helps you to come back to what is so important and to focus and to clarity. And as soon as I got focus and clarity, that's when second time around came.
Wow.
You know, wow. Yeah. As soon as I
and
got
you, and you've been
clear,
able you've been able to feel right from the time you started second time around, it feels like that this was really your specific passion and niche.
Right, because first of all, Napoleon Hill talks about what is it you have to give, you know.
Yes.
And I have that to give because of my experiences and relationships, basically, because second time around, love is about relationships. And for me, relationships have always been a challenge. And they've always been a gift as well. So, you know, and then I've had so many clients that struggled with second relationships that were pretty significant for them and second marriages. So it started to become clearer and clearer. And then I was coaching with someone and it came and the, you know, she said, you're good at relationships. And I said, yeah. And that's when second time around love came. So,
wow.
Yeah. And this is my third marriage. So I know about marriage and I know, not that I'm an expert, but I really know what it is because it's a journey and it's a journey of relating. And from my own experiences and the experiences that I gather from all the people that come to me, I'm able to support and to help others.
Wow. And if, you know, of all the type of coaching in the world, marriages and significant relationships is probably where people experience the most unpleasant experiences as well as the most joy and happiness. And so what a tremendous area to be coaching people in, because you can really, really impact their life in a way different than finances or a career coach or any other coach could, right?
Absolutely. It touches the heart. It goes right to the soul. Yeah.
Exactly. And a guy can be the most successful person in business, earning all kinds of money, but or woman, sorry. And if you're, you know, having a bad relationship and not knowing how to deal with it, that's going to be on your mind more than all the success you have in the world and the money you're making. And so, you know, it's really nice to be able to have someone to go to discuss these kind of things, because it's not something you discuss with a coworker, with a neighbor. You don't even usually discuss these with friends in church. And so to have a coach to help you talk and hash things out and really look at that most important area of life or most important relationship in life you'll ever have, boy, I could see where people might be knocking down your door to get some help. Now, Lorraine, also in my life, I'm 49 now, so I've had a lot of experience, and I've encountered people who have had really painful divorces. Like, oh, and I know that men can be jerks and women can be jerks, and I've heard women even talk of switching teams because they're just fed up with men. And so I know some of the painful divorces people have. Even my own cousin, super amazing, great guy, had a bad divorce and hasn't remarried. And so why do people, after they go through what they think is their soulmate and marriage, and then a very painful divorce, because it can be bitter and painful. How come people remarry after an experience like a divorce, a painful divorce?
You know, that's a great question, Tom, because when we look at it, and we look at the statistics, it's mind-boggling that people go through so much pain, and they go through so much in first marriages. There's, I would say, probably between the ages of 24 and, let's say, 30, a lot. Or you might get a little younger, but those are the first marriages. And by
right.
the time they're 30, they're divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time that they're 40, they remarry. So... And many times they don't go and get the support and help that they need. I think one of the things that I do is I'm an Imago therapist, I-M-A-G-O, Imago relationship therapist. And in Imago, what we learn is that we're addicted to that chemistry that we initially feel when we fall in love. You know that, Tom.
Yeah.
You felt that, right?
Yes.
So that feeling that you have when you fall in love is addictive. And so we're looking, it's kind of like a drug, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There are drugs that go through your body, right? And a drug addict will tell you when they're in recovery, because I've worked with substance abusers, that it's that first hit that they get that they're trying to get back, because it was euphoric. And so I think it's like a woman when she gives birth. After she gives birth to this beautiful gift, she doesn't remember all the pain that she went through. She just has this beautiful gift. Now, there may be some women that remember, but for the most part, they'll do it again, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm giving you analogies because that's how I liken, you know, why do people remarry? Why, after going through so much pain? Well, first, it's a natural. We want to connect. We need and desire that connection, that intimate connection, that validation of another person caring about us, loving us, wanting to be. Now, there's a lot of reasons people may say they're getting married, you know, money, security, things like that. But the bottom line is we want that connection, and it's a natural. It's just natural for us to want that and to be in that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and then we do. We go ahead and not really realizing that we can learn from that first relationship and all the relationships we've had. In Imago, what we learn is that you have that addiction quality, and it's excitement, and it's love, and, you know, you don't care about anything, and especially the second time around love. You know, you get into this relationship, and you don't care. You're just in love, you know. And it isn't until maybe 6 months into the marriage you realize, oh, we have children, and that's a problem we didn't even talk about, you know, because they didn't say they wanted to get married. We did, you know. So there's a lot that goes with that.
It is a lot. And in my case, I have my wife has two sons from two different husbands, and all the issues that go with that, parenting and dealing with former spouses. Those are things that when you're feeling the high of the romance that you're somewhat ignoring in the back of your mind because you've never really gone through a second marriage with other people and mortgage, yeah, probably too. They go together, and so it's so important that I guess that people considering a second mortgage, a second marriage would probably even before
it feels like a mortgage, right?
Yeah, before they make the decision to remarry, they really should get some maybe independent coaching to come up with questions and ideas that maybe even they aren't thinking of at the time.
Well, did you know, and I'm sure you know this, Tom, that it takes 4 to 7 years to become a family the second time around? And the statistics are really mind-boggling. That means it takes 4 to 7 years for that family to blend.
Wow.
And so that means all the time it's going to take work. And 67% of second marriages fail. And it's because of they're not aware that it's going to take time and it's going to take work. And 73% of third marriages fail. And so the story is, it doesn't, my idea and my passion and my motivation is that it doesn't have to end in divorce if we're really prepared and we've done the groundwork as we step into this new relationship.
Exactly. And my wife and I participated at church. They had a marriage enrichment group and a group of couples married long time, they led it, and I heard about that 4 to 7 years, closer to 7 now, used to be 4, climbing a little bit, and they related as one of the things I remember is that it takes that amount of time before you stop thinking of yourself as a single person or individual. This is my money, I earned this, and this was mine, and I brought this in, and this is mine, to the thinking of yourself as a couple, where it's our money, our earnings, our house, our car, our this and that. And so what you do between those 4 to 7 years is going to determine a lot about how quick you get to the, okay, this is an our thing, not a my thing.
Right. And if you prepare before that and have that discussion, then it will take less time. If you understand that this is and can be an issue and is an issue, particularly in blended families and second time around, that you have children that are part of the equation many times. And many times, I'm not just talking about young children, I'm talking about adults as well. Because don't think for a moment that because they're adult children, there's not going to be challenges. You know, they say little children, little problem, big children, big problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Like, you know, there can be a lot of challenges with adult children in second marriages.
Well, I inherited a 16 and a 19-year-old, and so, yeah, they're not all young kids when you get them. And at that point, what impact can you have? How were they parented before and maybe totally different from the way you would do things? And so, yeah, not just, as you said, young kids. It's oftentimes teens and young adults. And in another case, I'm thinking of a very good friend of mine, has a man she thinks is the man of her dreams, but her only child, her son, not very keen at all. Makes it a really difficult decision.
Absolutely.
And so, as you said earlier, it's not just you who are deciding to get married. It's these kids who are having to go along with it as well.
And how do you blend that all together. I call it mending and blending, you know, because a lot of mending has to happen before the blending starts.
Exactly, and so key. Now, because I tend to like more of the positive side of life, why don't you give us some tips or recipes for a winning second marriage?
Well, you know, it's so exciting because you come into this relationship and it's new and it's different and you have so much experience that you bring with you. so that those of you, like yourself, that went to a marriage retreat and you learned. And so the second time around, you have more of a commitment of, I want this really to work. So I find that those in second time around relationships are more quickly apt to get help than those maybe in a first marriage. And so the second time around, you know, you're older, you're more educated and knowledgeable, and you have a desire for this to get it right. And that's what I hear when many of the couples come to me for coaching is, I want to get it right this time. So getting it right is so important for individuals the second time around. And that they really have this knowledge, a better knowledge of themselves and a better knowledge of life that they have to offer. So as a whole, it's a real positive relationship to start moving forward with. And because relationships always have challenges, because it's really about growth. You know, and I love relationships because that's what helps us to grow. Relationships are mirrors for us to look at ourselves and to assess ourselves and say, you know what, I need to grow here. You know what, I'm seeing this, and this is an opportunity for me to change and to grow, because those relationship mirrors so much for us.
Wow. And you're so right. If you decide ahead of time to get it right, then when the lower times come, you've already decided ahead of time you're going to get it right and you're going to work through and go through those times. And if you didn't make that commitment up front, then when the chemicals start wearing off and the life starts hitting, then it makes it more difficult if you decide that you're. Hello there. Hello?
Yeah. Oh, it was really staticky.
Yeah. And so, yeah, as I was saying, like if you make that decision ahead of time that you're going to get it right, it really helps you when the low times come, right?
Absolutely. And you're building. You know, I like to do analogies, and I always think about, you know, when we're going to build a home from the ground up, we really have to, even before a foundation is built, we have to, the land has to be graded. And so it's being graded. And once it's graded, it takes a couple of weeks for that to happen. And while that grading is happening, you can't really, if you build on it, you're not going to have a strong foundation. So it's once, and many homes, a lot of home builders have done that, and then the foundation has cracked and there's been problems.
Yes.
So, you know, the grading is an important part, and that's the beginning process. And then the foundation goes on, and then you build from there. And it takes time, you know. You put the walls up, and it's all part of the growing process. I have a friend of mine, and she's a mental health professional, and she married this wonderful man, and he had 5 kids.
Mm.
And this was his second marriage and her second marriage. She had 1 child. So here they come into this marriage with 6 kids. And yeah, that's a lot. And I, you know, they're grown now, and it's amazing how time flies. However, her thing, and we laugh about it now, she would go to Walmart and call me because because Walmart became like her therapy. She would go there and walk around and try to get rid of some of the frustration and anger and sadness, a lot of emotion around children, you know, and trying to blend this family. And today they're just a wonderful family because she's stuck. And they all have, you know, different things that they do together and separate, and they're just a great family. So, you know, sticking it out and really building that foundation that's solid and then building on that foundation, which, you know, it will take time, especially the second time around or the third time.
Exactly, exactly. Now, coincidentally, or not coincidentally, but also valuable, you provide money coaching for clients. And besides a second marriage and the things you got to look at in any marriage, first, second, third, or tenth, money is going to be a crucial area of life and a cause of challenges if you don't get it right and get on the same system. So what a great compliment to coaching people in second and third marriages, but also to be able to offer them some coaching on the financial side, because there's considerations in second and third marriages financially as well that you don't want to be the cause of another divorce.
Absolutely. And again, Tom, it fits so beautifully, and it's generally a big part of it, too, because when we come into second marriages or third marriages, that's the last thing we think about, and yet it's one of the first things, whether it's our first, second, or third. Finances is something that people don't readily talk about. There's so much shame, taboo, a lot of issues that we all carry around money. And so if we don't create a safe place to dialogue and talk about that, we're never going to talk about it. And when we do talk about it, it may be because we're angry. It may be because there's debt. It may be because you found out there's debt and you didn't know it. You know, there could be a lot of reasons. So the conversation, people would rather talk about sex than they would talk about money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
very true, of course, of course.
Yeah. So to get couples to feel comfortable and to be able to talk about it is really a gift for them as well as for the family. Because in second marriages, if there are children, you will have child support, maybe, or you won't have child support. What does that mean? There's an added, you know, your whole financial picture is going to change. And particularly, I work with a lot of times single women or single men who may never have been married before that marry, and they don't understand the dynamics. So they marry a person who's been married before. Now, that person has had an entirely different experience than the single person.
Yeah.
They've been married. They understand it. So then this single person comes in with this financial picture that may be totally different than the reality of what is. So talking about money in the beginning before you say I do is such an important piece, because you need to know is how solvent is that person or how solvent are you? How do you manage money? How do you feel about money? And what you'll find is a lot of times you have different attractions. You'll have one spender and one hoarder that get together. And then how do you do that? And on my website, my other coachinginspirations.com, anyone can go to that website and take the money quiz. And it's a fascinating quiz because it's about archetypes. So it'll tell you, like, what your money type is. And based on that, you can start to see how you, and it seems like a fun thing to do, and it is. And I use that with my couples because it diffuses a lot of the real complexities that can develop as a result of talking about money.
Wow. And what an amazing compliment, because let's face it, when you go for a coach of any kind, but especially one that involves relationships and emotions, you need to let your guard down. You need to trust someone. You need to share things that you don't talk to other people about. And so, as we discussed, money is one of those things you don't talk to other people about, even your spouse often. And so to be able to not have to break down those barriers, build trust with two separate people to talk, one about marriage coaching and one about financial coaching, that can be a real benefit to people as well. They already are letting their guard down to you about thoughts, challenges, and things and issues with to consider for their upcoming marriage, their second or third marriage, but now they don't have to go through those same emotions and search for someone to also help them deal with money. And so it must be very beneficial for people to be able to cover both with the same person.
It is. And, you know, for the most part, Tom, I think anyone that goes into coaching, even if they don't provide, let's say if they go into relationship coaching, the money issues are going to come up. They're going to be there. So for the most part, I would encourage even coaches really to get a solid understanding of that dynamic of money coaching. And if they could, I was trained at the Money Coaching Institute, and I provide training for clinicians, you know, because that's my background. I'm a social worker. I provide training for clinicians so they have an idea. And there's many programs now developing to really help people. The Money Coaching Institute out of California does certify people and teach them about money coaching. So that's a good place if anyone is interested. And the other thing, too, Tom, is for us as coaches or clinicians to really understand our own dynamics with money and to really have a good handle on that. I'm not talking about perfection and you don't have to be a multimillionaire and all of those kinds of things, because even there's a lot of people that have a lot of money and they're miserable and unhappy and having challenges and are in fear with money. But I'm talking about having a real understanding of the dynamics of finances and money and what that means and how important it is for us to manage it and be able to control it and understand money and the energies of money. And as you know, Think and Grow Rich talks about that as well.
Exactly, and it's not even so much they have a question, or when they have you evaluate your financial area of life, it's not so much what you have in the bank as your ability to earn. And
right.
That comes from who you are, having that strong purpose, and but such an important area. Now, we have about 5 minutes left. Can you offer some couples, or what do you offer couples that can help them in their second marriages?
Well, I have a wonderful, it's called Prepare and Enrich. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's really a wonderful tool that I use initially with couples, and they can take it. It's about 200 questions. It's a questionnaire, and it shows all of the areas of relationship, the areas of finance, the areas of activities, the areas of parenting, all of those 9 different areas, their strengths and their weaknesses. So what we get is a good picture in the beginning of what's happening in this relationship. And then I take them through a step-by-step process to restore the fun, joy, and passion in their relationship and to create a divorce-proof plan for their marriage. So you know how Think and Grow Rich, it's so important for us to have a plan. You know?
Yes.
And with our relationship, it is equally important for us to have a plan and to restore intimacy and to improve couples' sex lives, because they may come in with all of the stuff and they lose that really juicy stuff that they had in the beginning, and they want that. So I really do help them to restore that, to keep that fire, to keep flaming that fire. And I give and help them to give and receive the love that they want by identifying each other's love languages. You know, I utilize that book, The Five Love Languages, because we all show love in a different way. And when we understand that, we don't feel like our significant other is withholding from us. We begin to identify, oh, this is the way they love me. And it isn't necessarily the way I want to be loved, because I have an idea of the way I want to be loved, but that's the way I show people I love. So I do that. And help them to unpack that old baggage as they let go and heal their past relationship, because that's so important, so that they can be present to the relationship here and now.
Wow. And just the two areas that you talked about, sex and money, if you
right.
could just, with that service alone and having people open up and share and get that right, you've almost cemented that marriage. If you can get them working on the same page and the same plan in those two areas, you're almost like Superman. You're impenetrable to anything if you look after those two areas in life. Your marriage is going to really, really have a lot better chance of success, and also something at the same time that, you know, not everyone is comfortable coaching people on, or even talking about as being coached. And so because of that talent and that expertise and how much you enjoy it, you would draw that out of people, things that probably they wouldn't even talk about to each other. And yet after they're married, it's too late to, not too late, but, you know, it's better to do it before to get all those
right.
things correct so
right.
that you can really make sure you're moving in the same path afterwards.
So I think what I would like to leave it with your audience is that building great relationships, three things: communicate, understand, validate, and caring. You know, that if we communicate, really, that's such a key. And to learn to be able to communicate effectively and understand each other from a place of love and caring and validation.
Exactly, and such a tough thing. Even myself, something I work on, and communication is an ongoing life skill, but you get to practice it most in your marriage or significant relationship.
Absolutely.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today, Lorraine. What an amazing topic that affects so many people and which so many people could use help with. And so, boy, I'm sure your doors are going to people be lining up at your doors, because such valuable advice can really impact more of their life than any other coaching I can think of. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. And I have a packet, if any of your audience, it's a free relationship building packet. And if they would like to, they could go on my website, www.secondtimearoundlove.com, and they can get that packet there. It's free.
Wow. And we're going to put that link on our website as well, then when we build that page to promote this interview, and people will be able to get it there as well. And boy, please click on that link. It would not even, maybe even if you don't need it, your help yourself. Everybody
right.
knows friends who are going through this situation or thinking of it. It could be valuable to yourself or to any of your friends and family.
So thank you so much.
Have an amazing day. Thanks so much, Lorraine. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.